This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan will spin the wheel of misfortune in about a half an hour.
What about a fresh start? Okay.
All right.
You had a bathroom break. I had Wi-Fi problems. Starting fresh, either that or we just keep greasing it up on this show and we have a bounce back tomorrow.
Amateur hour? Well, last hour was amateur hour. That's what
No, I don't know if you guys discussed this while I was staring into emptiness and you guys were looking at me. The greasiest move, who at the CN Tower decided, who did that?
It's the absolutely mind-boggling.
Was that somebody being
a troll job. It's a troll. It's one of two things.
Yeah, but it's a troll job on our own city.
I know that. The biggest city in the country. This is the best part, that it's I guess, owned and operated by the federal government. So it's coming out of Ottawa. This is the biggest city in the country. All right. These are the most potential voters that you're going to have of any other pocket in the city, in the country. And it's not particularly close. If it's someone that's trolling the city of Toronto,
I honestly don't think it's a troll job. I think those people they don't understand that. It was just whose idea was that?
Well, that's the other option, is that it was someone completely oblivious, which is totally possible. That they don't think about sports. They're not sports fans. You're just like, I don't know, the Habs are through, and I thought that would be a good idea.
Can you imagine, like, the Philadelphia Eagles, like, lighting up a statue, like, the color of the Washington Redskins or something?
Never.
The Yankees and the Red Sox, and but didn't T-Dog put a stop to it and said it's not going to be?
I read
a tweet, or somebody sent in to the show a tweet saying, like, he's like, that won't happen again type of thing. So
now
I don't
he's
know.
Got all the answers. Meanwhile, it was announced yesterday afternoon that those colors were going up, and they did go up. So, John Torrey, where were you yesterday it ever happened?
He probably got on the phone and said, what the hell's going on here? It probably took some time to run up the chain. You know what I mean? Like, he can't run down to the CN Tower and there's one plug and him pull it out. Like,
what if
the
tour dog arranged it himself and he sent it out and said, okay, CN Tower, fire this up. And then he saw the backlash and said,
can't imagine he would be that silly.
And dude, it's so stupid, and it's
stupid.
Just like it's part of a rivalry. You don't do, like, as much as we're all kind of Canadian, and regardless if you like it or not, I mean, you kind of hope the Canadian team does well, whatever. But you just, I don't know, it takes away from the rivalry. Like, it's just, you don't do it.
It's very Canadian in nature. You know, we
Dude,
all love each
ridiculous.
Other.
It was ridiculous. Whoever was responsible
it's
that, smarten up. That's
it's
so
crazy.
Stupid.
Wow. It's crazy, man. And listen, this is what should happen is whenever the Leafs win a round or two, maybe in 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years, someone in Montreal should step up and say, we'll put up the blue and white for you. We'll hook you up. Because there's got to be some sort of a federal building in Montreal, obviously, right, that is owned, operated by the federal government. Make the call right now that we'll make it up to you. Whenever the Leafs finally win a round, at some point in our lives, it'll happen. The blue and white are going up on the federal building in Montreal.
What
tip
is
for
the,
tap.
I think people are just starting to kind of move on from it as well. You know, it was kind of going in the rearview mirror. Then all of a sudden I saw that. I'm like, this is a punk job. Like,
but you know what that is too? And this is what I said in the last hour is I think what you don't – there are a lot of people in Toronto like, really? This is so ridiculous. Why would you do that? A lot of people that aren't happy about it. But I think Leaf fans almost stop short of really going ballistic because they're like, the Leafs let this happen.
Right.
It's the Leafs' fault. The Leafs were up 3-1.
Dude, you don't need to rub salt on a wound like that.
That's the truth.
Wow.
Truth, man. It's self-inflicted pain. It's self-pity. If you're a Leaf fan, you're like, they could have stopped this. They did what they were supposed to, and they didn't.
If I fell off my golf cart, I don't need you to come by and just take a hack with your club on my leg while I'm already down. That's the same thing. You don't do it.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what? If the Leafs make it through a round next year, the Chez Pierre has to be lit up in Montreal.
Yep. There you go. The Barbie Barn.
The blue
barn.
And white.
The
yeah.
Barbie Barn,
you know,
Chez Pierre.
One of those places in St. Catherine there. Like, That's what we should be looking at. Because I was saying to Brian, when you weren't on, could you imagine the backlash if the Leafs had made it through? If the Leafs had made it out of Canada and in Calgary, the Calgary Tower lit up its Leafs colors going, hey, you know people what?
If like, that happened the other way around, Tony Marinaro would have blew off his chair and threw the roof.
Everyone
the
else bar. Around the country. Out here, it's like, you know, the city's so big. There's so many people that are from outside of Toronto. And there's right. a lot else going on in the world. You know, like it's nice outside. Hopefully we're moving in the right direction here. COVID, blah, blah, blah. That maybe this is somehow the time that would allow it to happen. I don't know. I can't justify it. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in terms of the CN Tower and their decision to do that. Let's head to Vancouver now and see what the reaction would be if, you know, some big landmark in Vancouver was colored blue and white because the Leafs were through a couple of rounds in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Could you imagine that happening, Ray, in the city of Vancouver? And if so, how would people in Vancouver react?
The people in Vancouver lose their minds because we have a Hockey Night in Canada game at 4 in the afternoon when the Leafs come here.
Right.
It's once a year. Like, it's one time. It's 4 o'clock. Like, who cares?
Ray, you played for the Rangers. Would they ever light the Empire State Building the color of the Devils uniform?
I thought, I mean, not living there, I was like, what the hell is that?
Crazy.
Like, who's it? Like, who thought of that?
Dude, it's
because
just
this,
so
this thing
stupid.
Of this thing about Canada's team, people in Vancouver don't ever cheer for Calgary. They cheer for Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
The people
right.
in Edmonton don't cheer for Winnipeg. They cheer for Edmonton. Like, I don't know. It's your city. It's like,
That's
I don't know,
it.
some Sharpie decided that was a great idea yesterday. I don't
well,
know.
And if you're the Habs, you should run with this. Like, this is why you hire someone to run your social media account. This is why. I'm not saying Bergevin should care or Dominique Ducharme should come out with a statement.
Right.
But if you run a social media account, this is absolutely perfect for you because you own the city of Toronto.
That's
the
right.
landmark
you could have
of landmarks
that as your...
is colored in your colors.
I can see the tweet before the first game they play each other next year. All you Habs fans in Montreal ready to rock, or all you Habs fans in Toronto ready to rock,
yep.
picture of the CN Tower.
It's coming, man.
What if the
it's
guys
coming.
Start doing their Zoom calls and they got hoodies on with the CN Tower or the picture of it?
They should. Be a great troll job.
You know what I mean? Like, they come out and they're like, they've got the CN Tower as like a picture on the front of their hoodie, lit up in Habs colors. Like, it would actually be hilarious.
It'd
like,
be very
it'd be
smart
great
marketing.
Three, it, yeah, it would be
it'd
great
It'd be very
theater.
Smart marketing.
Like, it's a PR freebie.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. And, like, the Habs, I think, already have the Stanley Cup mascot, and it's Bergevin with the hair and the suits. Like, his hair is so glorious right now, and he wears the loudest suits in the game. Like, he's got the red suit, and he's jacked, and he looks good, and he feels good, and his team's winning. Like, he is the mascot of good times in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. Feels that way.
Well, I mean, he might be next to Carey Price. He might be the most noticeable or prominent figure with the Canadians. Maybe Shea Weber. But it's not Phil Deneau eating pizza or...
No.
You know, like, it's not like a star-laden group. So, you know, Bergevin is kind of... He's front and center, whether he wants to be or not. And each time he pops on that red suit, I mean, you're going to get noticed. That's for sure.
It is something else. Like, I, you know, you have some aggressive suits, and you can pull them off. Like that red suit by Berge, and you're right. Like, he's jacked. He's put together. He always has been. Like, Ray, did you play with him? I played with him for 4 years.
Yeah, tail end of my career in St. Louis. So last couple of months, right?
Yeah, he's as built as anybody I've ever played with. And,
but Noodles, if me or you tried to wear O suits, like, we'd look we'd look like knuckleheads. Like, they don't fit our personality, but they fit you, O. Like,
right.
That's what you do. If I tried to wear Burge's suits, I'd look like a clown.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what are you wearing?
Basic shades. That the three of us, we're the same way. I'm in the same boat, man. It's very simple. Because if you wear something crazy out of nowhere,
dude, Hayes,
you can't do it.
You used to be Griffin.
Yeah.
You are a stud now. You got your hair dialed up. You fire on a fitted suit. I give it a try, and we'll debate whether it goes or not.
I'm all for a fitted suit and a good-looking suit. I'm just saying,
but
you know.
He's saying if it's flowery, like, you know, like there are certain looks that people can pull off. Craig Button can pull off anything.
Right.
Craig has a look.
You just got to stop. That's all about your attitude towards yourself. If you think you're a loser that had a casino in college, then you're not going to do it.
Right. Okay, what's your explanation for these other two bozos?
No,
that's not
the reason. They just like to keep it kind of cool. But you just got to believe it, man.
All right.
I don't know.
I think you need to start showing up, the loud suit, no tie, but have the shirt open, like unbuttoned deep.
Chest hair.
Like the deep V.
By the way, it's 2021. Can't we get rid of the whole tie on TV thing? Like all of us, the whole nine. Like that's just gas it. Wear a nice shirt, button up, whatever. Hayes, you look good right now. Noodles, let's just get rid of the tie ordeal permanently.
You know what we need?
We want to wear it great.
Lewis Taylor. We need John Lewis Taylor.
Johnny Lewis.
That was gorgeous.
The
that
best
was
in the
gorgeous.
Business. There's that, a guy, John Liu is a trendsetter, man. He doesn't follow the trends. He makes the trends. He had a suit with a hood on. That's like 2023 Paris Fashion Week. Like, that guy's years ahead of the rest of the world.
He's got a mustache.
How about
this?
How about this nickname for him? Lulander.
Yes. Lou Steele. I love it.
Lulander.
Sweet there. Johnny Lou. I love him. Like he's so good. But like you're right. That suit was popping the other night. And he's we all know John. Like he's in good shape and it was tight and it just everything about that suit was
brilliant. The guy's a stud. He's a stud.
All I could think about is I couldn't pull that off. Like just me personally. I would feel uncomfortable in it. Even though you guys know I like my Hugo Boss suit as sweatpants, and I like the stretchy stuff.
You're built for comfort. There's nothing wrong with
comfort.
That, Noodles.
That's all I want.
Nothing wrong with that. I like it, and I'm all for it. Ray, who would you put your money on to have a better chance of coming back and either pushing seven or winning the series? Would it be Colorado or Boston?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say Colorado because I think Boston's banged up a bit. Although there always seems to be points in the game where you're like, Boston's going to take this over. Right? Like, that's what I think anyway when I'm watching. And then they just can't seem to shake the Islanders. They're like a bug you can't kill. Like, they just never, ever go away. But, so I think the Islanders are going to win, if only because I don't think Boston's healthy. I do think Colorado's got a better game in them, but like that game turned so fast yesterday. Amazing. And all of a sudden, like Vegas was all over them again.
Yeah.
But I think Colorado can win. I do. But Vegas is better than I thought they were going to be. They've been terrific.
I liked Colorado's game last night. I thought they deserved a better fortune. Like they missed a couple open nets. They had a crossbar. Like Fleury was brilliant. But I said to Brian, we lost Owe at the starting the show for a little bit for technical stuff. But I said to Brian, the series is exactly where it should be because I thought Grubauer stole game two. So that should have been 1-1 there. But I thought Colorado deserved a better fate last night.
Mm-hmm. Like, Noodles, you know, let me ask you this. And, Ray, you can comment too because you guys watched him in Ottawa between the benches for a lot of years. Is Stone getting the appropriate amount of flowers right now on this stage for people to finally figure out who this guy is and how good he is?
Probably not. Man, he's good, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of flow, man, he's got that thing.
Well, he might need the rebuild at some point. Like it's a really.
I love the flow. He might need to fertilize up top a tiny bit in a few years.
That's what it is. He's got a little bit of the LeBron going at the top, but like I think he's a guy. The thing I loved about him, Ray, and I don't know if you noticed it. I'm sure you did. He is so competitive. Like, he stands on the bench, he's yelling, like he, this guy would come out of his skin to make a play out there. Like, he's, and everything is hard work for him. Like, going on a breakaway last night, that was hard
grind.
Work.
That was like, Forrest Gump, like, breaking out of the knee braces. Like, he's like, I got to get there.
I'll tell you what, though, it proves the point that, Will, you need to pair it with skill. He's not the most graceful skater, and you're looking around the playoffs, and Mark Stone doesn't skate that well, and Braden Point's not that big, and Matthew Barzell's not that big. But you know what? They get it done. That's what's most important, Brian.
Okay. Yeah, I agree
with like
you.
Your suit, oh, bold yes. like your suit.
What a take.
The thing I remember about Mark Stone, the first time I saw him was at the junior tournament, and I'm like, he reminds me of Tim Kerr. Because he scored about 8 goals in the tournament, and they were all from dead in the slot. It was like nobody could move him out of there. And his skating was kind of like, I don't know, it was kind of like he was in a blender all the time. His elbows were going all over, and it just was an ugly stride. And then he got stronger, and he obviously worked at it. He may be not fast, he's not slow anymore.
Right.
And he combine it with he's got a big hockey brain. Like, he is smart on the ice. Like, he didn't get too far ahead of the play yesterday. Like, when he blocked the first shot and the second one went through, like, he still left the passing lane there for him to get the Pacioretty pass. And then he had enough to get ahead of Graves, and that was MacKinnon coming back on the other side. So it's not like he was, going against the tugboat out there. He had to get going, and his shot was awesome. Like, what a finish.
Yeah. Yep. Like the one thing too, if you look at it, is you talk about him being smart. Like he always leads the league or is close to it in takeaways. Like he reminds me of, like, we played with a guy named Pat Flatley, and Pat Flatley, he would go in the corner with 5 guys and he'd come out with the puck. Like, his Flatley would be pushing on the back of a knee. It was pressure points and it was slashing on the stick. Like, Stone is so competitive, and he reads the play so well, but he's got an unbelievable stick. He bats things out of the air. He turns pucks over. Like, you want to talk about details of the game. To me, that is a case study. You watch him, he is one of the most complete players out there.
And speaking of his stick, it is one of the ugliest sticks around.
His knob?
The knob, the curve is ugly. Like,
oh, the knob is like outrageous.
It's like a boat oar. It's awful. Except it works really good, and he gets paid $9.5 million. So it works really good.
Clearly it does. And I have to think he's a Team Canada guy next year, right? Like, if they they'll find a role for him. And you look around the playoffs, like, Theodore's going to be there. Petrangelo's going to be there. Fleury's going to be there in some capacity. He may not start, but he's going to be one of the three. Right. Stone's going, obviously. MacKinnon's going. McCarr's going. Stamkos is going. Point's going. Like, Marchand's going. Like, there's a lot of Canadians still playing and big boys. And yet McDavid's
not
there.
You mentioned all those names. It's going to get crowded in a hurry when they start to pick that team. And there's going to be people sour that their guy's not on it. Because there's going to be some really, like every Olympics, I guess, there's going to be some really great players that probably deserve to be there, but there's just, like, where are you going to put them?
That's
like,
the truth.
Where do they fit, right?
Yep. That's the truth. It's so difficult. Like, you can get 3 lines, 4 or 5 defensemen, a couple of goalies quick. That'll be consensus across the country, right? Like, everyone will look at it and say, obviously, McDavid, MacKinnon, et cetera. But then you get to that next level where you're like, all right, I think Stone's going. But what does that mean for Ryan O'Reilly? Is he going to go?
Right.
Is, Couturier going to go?
Here are your first three centers.
Right.
Well, here are your first three centers, McDavid, MacKinnon, and Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got one spot left.
Yeah.
Right. You have guys moving on to the wing.
Wait a minute. We're going to put Patrice Bergeron on the wing with Crosby, and they're going to be your checking line.
Yeah.
That might work okay.
Exactly.
And let's
Braden
put Marchand on the other side. Like,
right.
And that's technically, would that be your third line?
Right.
Well,
good stuff, man.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think McDavid and MacKinnon might play together, which I think
that's scary.
Would be as electric as you could possibly get.
Yeah. How'd you like to be the third guy on that line? Hey, fellas, wait up. I'm coming.
No kidding.
I'm going to catch up eventually.
No kidding.
Mark Stone just dialed in with those guys.
That'd be great if it's him. But you know, that's what's coming. Imagine if you're on the other side of it, if you're a defenseman, like world class, you're at the Olympics and you're like these two guys. Imagine a 2-on-1 where it turns up ice quickly and you can't keep up with either guy. Like, no. They blow past you into a 2-on-0. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of the game. A 2-on-1 turns into a 2-on-0 because the defenseman can't keep up.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened.
Oh, it probably has.
Some of those guys back in the 80s with the big feet and they just can't cross over. It's happened.
They're trying so hard.
Joel Quenneville, what he showed us. He used to talk about having an active stick and great stick in the lanes and that. And our video guy, Jamie Compound, found a video of Q defending in Hartford, and it was the Hall of Fame tape for Peter Stastny. And Stastny blew around Q like he was standing there handing him a ticket. And the boys went nuts. It was a pregame, like we were literally going out for the game after, and he showed this video of Q standing there waving at him with his stick, and the boys were yelling, "Great stick, Q, great stick." Like, but that's what it was like back then. Like,
yeah. Well, it still is with McDavid and McKinnon.
In practice, you would get around him, and Joel couldn't turn. He wore those old Micron skates that squeaked when he walked out, like that. And so you'd get around him, and he'd put his stick between your elbow and your body, and he'd corkscrew, and all of a sudden you'd be in the corner. It was a hooking penalty every time.
There's one move that's worse, Ray. Brad McCrimmon patented. If he was getting beat on the outside, he would act like he was stumbling backwards and grab his stick with the grip and flail it and chop your ankle and act like he was all confused. It was the turnaround on bumbling, stumbling, break your ankle move. It worked every time.
Yeah, that was the D of those days. Man, if you got a stride outside, you just knew the two-hand slash was coming. You just weren't sure when.
Don't embarrass me.
Hayes, you must have pulled this move playing D, like the old butt end into the guy's midsection and ride him into the corner.
Listen, there's nothing worse. than being a defenseman on a one-on-one drill, or you're going wide, especially if the guy's getting a pass in motion. Because if you stop him, you're supposed to. But if you get burned, you look horrendous. Like, you look awful. So it is survival. And the four was just like, let me get a shot on. Let me try to deke you. Let me work on something. Then you get back in the line, see you later. The defenseman's always in a bad spot. And remember, we had Eric Stoll on a month or two ago whenever he got drafted. We mentioned him playing with Karkner up in Peterborough. And he told that story. He's like, I blew around Karkner as a rookie. And he shot a puck at my head and went up to me and said, don't ever do that again or I'll break your arm. And that's Eric Stoll, who was like a top five pick coming in, like stud. And he said, I learned my lesson quickly. I'm never going around that guy ever again in practice. Like, I'm not going to do it. And because Karkner was like, don't embarrass me out here. Like, I know you're a stud kid and all that, but I'm going to be fighting for you in a couple of nights, which he probably did. He's like, don't embarrass me. Dump and chase or shoot the puck. See you later.
You mentioned something, the one-on-one at practice. So, you know, you had to let the guy, you know, we wanted – just keep me to the outside as the forward and let me shoot the puck. And Joel used to, about three or four times a day, someone would go out there and they think Joel's going to give him the outside to shoot. Right when he'd go to shoot, the lizard stick would come out and he'd just poke the puck away. And he'd start to laugh, right? And, man, it would be infuriating. He just wanted to clobber him. And he'd be like, oh, sorry about that, boy. Sorry about that. He'd just poke it right off your stick, right?
Oh, he is awesome.
It's just, like, practice would be – isn't that the best reality show? Like, I think – I've often wondered this as a fan. Like, if you were to propose different options, if you were to give a fan options to, you know, access to something, like you could either be in the green room – on free agency day, and you can see and hear everything, or you can be at the draft table for night one of the first round, or just out there for practice after, like, the Halloween party when the boys are feeling it. Like,
just
what would
any
be the most...
time? Can you imagine Rick in accounting if they just logged on to watch practice in Carolina? Rick Cisone and Stu Grimson, like, squared off at center ice in the middle of practice. Rick in accounting would put his coughing down and say, this is amazing.
This is the great. I will pay $89.99 a month Yes. A week.
Yes.
A day.
Once a week, I want to see a fight in practice. I want to see great goals the whole night.
Coaches melting.
Oh, yeah. Like yelling. You have to be fully mic'd, though, because the comments – like you, a goalie allows a goal. It's the little black thing there. Let it hit you. Like guys just abusing you. Like it's ruthless out there. Like I do miss that. But some of the funny things in practice, like you can't bring to the table because
it's just not normal.
Yeah, it's not normal behavior.
You guys remember Sean Donovan?
Oh yeah, chum.
Like chum was one of the fastest skaters I've ever played with. So we at practice in Atlanta, we had to do these like 6-lap things for conditioning. So this is about, you know, as you're talking, we're standing there in our group in the corner. There's like 5 of us. And we're like, hey, chum, don't be stupid here. Let's not be setting a world record. No way, boys. We'll go all together. 4 strides out, chum's a half a lap in front of us. Like he can't even slow down when he tries. And we're like just barking at him the whole time. He'd lap you. And you'd have to come back and just give it to him. And he'd be like, I was trying to go slow. What's wrong with you guys? Me and Andrew Brunette, we're like Donald Audette. We're like a half a lap behind him. I love that stuff.
That was a big no-no, man. Passing and showing up a veteran in a bag skating drill. Like, just an absolute no-no.
You cannot do it. And just little stuff like you guys experienced a million more practices than I did as pros, as adults. Guys with kids at home where stuff would break out. I remember early on when I got to junior, some guy accidentally, I'm certain to this day it was an accident, like the coach whistled us in, everyone's coming in around the board or whatever for a scrum, and one guy was coming in too hot, and he was being an idiot. He was coming in too hot, and he ran into a vet and hit him from behind, and the vet got up and dropped the gloves and started fighting. Like, they started throwing bombs, and I'm like, what the hell is happening right now? Like, he came in too hot, yes, but I don't think he meant to bury you or what. And it was like, we have to fight now because you hit me from behind and I wasn't prepared for it. Teammates, like good buddies, full-out brawl, and everyone's like, what are we supposed to do right now?
Dude, the worst practice in the history of hockey is Peter Carmanos bought the Hartford Whalers, and he came to watch us practice for the first time. And it was the morning of the Halloween party, the morning after.
Ay, ay, ay.
And we got thrown off the ice 12 minutes into practice, and that was Peter Carmanos in the stands, like the owner of the Cleveland Indians, saying, these are my boys.
What an investment. Yeah, get Lou Brown on the line right now. We're moving you to Miami. This team
is a joke. I was terrified. I was terrified after that.
Getting thrown off the ice is the worst.
Like, that's bad, because usually guys can stick it out and cover up, but it was so bad. There was just a simple drill. Up to the blue, go across the blue, get a pass, and somebody went right through the boards and couldn't stop, and the whistle blew, and it was everybody get off. Off.
Yep. 1 year we came out after the Halloween party. Guys are staggering out there, and we get out there finally. There's no pucks.
Oh, no.
You're done.
So the coach, Jack Evans, stood on one blue line, and we had to go hard between the blue line just on that side. And so blue line to blue line. And I want to say we did it for 15 minutes. In one direction. Then he blew the whistle, and he went and stood on the other blue line on the other side of the ice. There were guys trying to hide in the corner. You couldn't even move. Nobody could breathe. And it just stunk out there.
It was brutal. Awful, just sweating it out. No pucks. That is such a hockey term. No pucks. Yeah. You're like, this is not going to be fun at all. No one needs it. No one wants it. Well, we'll leave it there, buddy. Enjoy it tonight. Game 6, Boston Islanders. It should be a fun one, and we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Have a great one, guys. See ya.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check it out, mapletoyota.com. We'll spin the wheel of misfortune, see what we're playing this week. Drag still to come. Mark Kestacher still to come on the NBA playoffs. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
Yes, it is. And the Wheel of Misfortune is spun by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. So we know the way this works. We spin the wheel every Wednesday and we play some sort of game. Maybe we'll hear from Jerry, maybe a little role play level of concern. Could be anything. Let's spin the wheel and see what we're doing this week.
No filter?
You have no filter.
That's true. That's
just
good.
Say whatever comes into your mind. Yeah. You don't really modulate your feelings at all.
Yeah. It's a good thing for me, but it's a bad thing for water.
I love it. The filter. We've never played this on a Wednesday afternoon.
No, we haven't. I am jacked up.
Okay, Al's brother, I believe, is in the studio. Do we have Al's brother? There he is. Al's brother. And you know the way this works. You've got some statement you're going to make or something that you want to put into the form of a tweet, and you're going to run it through the gauntlet here. We're going to say whether or not to send it or end it, basically, based on that take.
Delete your account.
Or delete your account. Yeah. Multiple options here. You good with that, Al's brother, or what?
Oh, I'm good. I'm fired up. Ready to go.
Okay, pal. Let's see what you have in store this week.
All right. Number one, George Springer needs to start further down the lineup because Semien is the new leadoff guy. He's just been way too good, and I don't feel comfortable taking him at that leadoff spot.
Ooh. Let me start, please. Oh. I think that when you sign the shiny new toy to a $150 million contract, I don't care if Ricky Henderson or anyone else is batting leadoff. They're getting bumped for George Springer. Do you understand that? That's borderline delete your account.
I'm gonna say send it, and here's why. Because I think Hayes came up with, and it's Charles Barkley, Springer's nickname might be Street Clothes.
It is right now. It is right now.
And, you know, he's injured, and I get it. That's not, you know, a shot at it. It's just the reality.
It's the truth.
Once he gets in there, it might take him a little bit to settle in. And I don't know if the Jays have – they need all the wins. They need everything that can get going.
That's right.
You know, I'd love to see him there, and I believe he will be there, but I don't think you just force-feed him in there the minute that he's coming back. I think he's got to work his way back in.
You can look at this two different ways. I feel like you guys are looking at it two different ways. Always looking at it through the lens of Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, which ultimately are going to make the call here. Charlie Montoya is going to do what the front office wants him to do. And I think that might end up being the case.
He should be doing what's best for the team.
Exactly. And I think that's what Noodles is saying, and that's what I'm going to go with right now. I'm going to say send it, Al's brother. Marcus Semien He's a 2.9 wins above replacement right now. I'm looking at his stats. They are off the charts. This guy's got an 885 OPS. He's gotten on base at a 362 pace. This guy has been lights out, man. 1-2-3, Semien into Bo into Vladdy has been outstanding. This is not the George Springer show, all right? Eventually, you'll get that opportunity. It may be 2 weeks into the lineup. Maybe
it's a guy that wins the World Series MVP, doesn't he deserve the
4 years ago? This is a new team, man, and he's here for 5 years. He's going to bat leadoff the majority of the 5 years. It doesn't mean he has to the day he comes back.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Hayes. Just one counterpoint, and then I'll end this. How long is Semien's contract?
It's a one-year deal.
That's right. You just got to put him back at leadoff. He's the franchise player. He's the franchise ticket.
He's not anymore. It's Vladdy's franchise. He's Vladdy's guy now, and right, Al's brother?
Semien's getting it done. Like, he just won AL Player of the Month.
That's right.
Back in May, this dude was a stud. He had 1,100 OPS in the month of May. You're gonna take him from the leadoff spot and potentially
delete your account.
No,
delete your account.
Yeah, there you go. Send and a resend an hour later. A retweet.
No,
your own
retweet
tweet.
Yourself. Like every other loser on Twitter. That should be a suspension, a 1 week suspension when you retweet your own tweet.
It should be.
Stop doing that.
And then you quote tweet like, thanks. When somebody writes something nice, you like,
that's a different infraction.
Everyone reads it.
That's a different one, but retweeting your own tweet.
We got to come up with a top 10 list of the top 10 quote tweet appreciation for themselves, people. I got a bunch in mind.
Okay.
Al's brother, next on the filter.
All right. Hazy B, you might like this one here. Okay. If Jordan Love has a great mini camp, then just start flushing Aaron Rodgers' texts and emails.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
I love it, Al's brother.
Send it. Send it and verify yourself, Al's brother, because – If this guy's not coming back, just move on from him. And Hayes, I do not know what the hell you were talking about. This guy can't throw it 15 yards, you were reporting.
Well, I was reporting.
There's other report.
He's got an arm.
There were other reports that this guy was on fire today.
He's got a hose. Al's brother would know this more than anyone else. Al's brother, Kiper Jr. The guy's got a hose, but I don't think he can connect. You know, he can't hit the broadside of a barn right now. I mean, his accuracy is an issue, right, Al's brother?
Dude, an NFL person that was at the practice today commenting how on fire this guy was, so I don't know what you're reading. Send it and verify your account, Al's brother.
All right,
Al's. I would love a blue check mark, by the way. So
let's
if we can make that happen.
Come on, let's
make that happen.
It has to happen. Twitter, snap out of it. Wake up. Figure it out. I feel like Jeremy Roenick right now. I'm not gonna say delete your account, but I'm certainly gonna say end it. I mean, it's a mini camp in June. Rodgers has 14 years in the league where the guy's been a stud. He's coming off the MVP. He's taking you to back to back championship games. Let's not get crazy with flushing calls and texts and emails here because Jordan Love looks good. Right, Noodles? You're on board.
I agree. I say flush it because it's practice. Nobody cares about, you know, training camp. But it's not even a training camp. It's just
it's a mini camp.
OTAs.
Mini
camp.
Yeah.
No one does it better than the NFL. The OTA, the mini camp, the mandatory mini camp,
but
the rookie camp.
It 2 weeks doesn't go by where they don't have something on
the
docket.
They got something.
But you always see in mini camp or these small camps, some guy looks like he's the best player ever.
Yep.
And then they're like, this guy, you can't even find this guy.
Doesn't even make the team.
They flushed him. Exactly.
It doesn't even make the team. It happens all the time. Jerry Rice, here he is in June. You got to see Jerry Rice. Yeah. Not even on the roster. Can't catch anything.
My favorite one was every single summer, every OTAs, Tim Tebow comes into camp after working with a new quarterback coach, worked on his mechanics. He's really going to be able to be a player this year. Same old stuff.
The same old stuff.
Wasn't able to get it done.
All right,
what
we're cooking
is on
here?
The docket,
I love
brother.
It.
All right, so spider tack for pitchers is a worse infraction than the PED era of the 90s and 2000s.
I think it's right with there. If you think of the 90s and the 2000s, the pitchers were going crazy. Guess why? Because guys were popping roids, and they were hitting baseballs into outer space.
Yeah.
And they finally had enough. So now it's flipped around, and the hitters are saying, how the hell are we going to hit these baseballs? Tatis Jr. said the other day he's seen pitches that he's never seen before in his life. So I think it's just on par. I don't know.
I'm a send and a retweet of the tweet down the road because this is a way worse infraction. PEDs, pitchers were using it. Roger Clemens misremembered, but guess what? They were all doing it.
You're right.
Pitchers, you know, hitters, they were all doing it. And, yes, if you're on PEDs, clearly you're in better shape, you can battle injury, you can hit the ball further, you can bulk up. But you still got to hit the ball, right? You still need hand-eye. You still need dexterity, which is an incredible skill and incredible talent. What they're doing with these baseballs because of the spider tag and other things that they're using, illegal substances, as Tatis Jr. said, they are throwing balls that no one's seen before. Like, there is a spin rate going on in baseball right now that is off the charts. It is unhittable. And that, to me, makes it much more difficult and much more lopsided in terms of the level of play. So I send it. I send it 100%.
I send it all day, and then I quote tweet it with a thumbs up attached to it and also send that.
Yes.
Yeah, send it. I agree.
Okay, I like it. Al's brother, any more in the chamber or what?
Yeah, we got a couple more here. My man, Braden Point, who I believe I said was one of Canada's best goal scorers back in a power ranking a little bit ago.
Okay.
May not be better than Austin Matthews, but he's just as good and has the clutch gene, which Matthews apparently is lacking.
Ooh, that's a light up the CN Tower type of
take. He's one of those guys, it's one of those things where recency bias is obviously involved here, but when you're coming up with a top 10 list of players in the NHL, how the hell is Braden Point not in your top 10 next year? I don't really care about stats in the regular season. If you want to talk about a better player, and I'm not doing the comparison with Austin Matthews, this guy is a top 10 player in the league. Look what he does in the playoffs. If you look at his stats in the last 35 games in the NHL playoffs, he's got 22 goals. It's outrageous.
It's outrageous. Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Well, go ahead, Noodles.
No, I was going to say, I agree. I look at the bigger picture. It is recency bias. That's obviously this guy is on fire this playoff. They won the cup last year. He was a big part of it. You look at the last couple of years, it's hard to argue with your tweet. I would look at the big picture and see how this plays out because you know, there's still lots of runway for both of these players. I'd like to go more with O and say I'm looking at him being a top 10 player, not just compared to Matthews.
Okay. Well, I have to send it as of right now, but it's with a caveat because I don't think he's better than Matthews. I don't even think he's necessarily as good, but he's much more clutch. I can't dispute that. Like, as of now, it's indisputable. Braden Point shows up the last 2 years in particular and has been an absolute superstar, man.
Yep.
Like, and listen, he's riding shotgun with guys who have it too. Like, Kucherov's dancing every night. Stamkos is dancing every night.
So what?
Exactly, though. He still does it. He brings it every single night. Matthews
Damn
cannot
right.
make that case. He cannot make the case that he's as clutch as Braden Point. He can't right now. But Matthews is still a better overall player than Braden Point. But it's close. It's really, really close. And based on the contract, that's a totally different conversation.
That's a crazy part. Oh. He's got – Braden Point makes 6.75. Now, he's got another year of that, and then he needs to sign. But they'll be able to figure that out because, you know, whether Johnson comes off the books or, you know, Killorn or, you know, guys like that. Like,
I guarantee you, Noodles, he won't go north of 9.
He'll sign 9.5. He'll sign the Kucherov deal.
He'll
8 years
at
9.5.
Steph and I were talking about that today. She said, what do you think his next deal looks like? And I said, it's Kucherov's. 9.5.
That's exactly what it'll be. And there won't be any problems. There won't be any, you know, offer sheets. There won't be any threats. There won't be anything. It's just smooth and all good, and everyone loves being a Tampa Bay Lightning.
I can't even look at this. I looked at their cap situation
Sickening.
Today. Victor Hedman makes $7.8 million. Dollars.
Sickening.
It's gross.
Sickening.
Yeah.
All right, Alice, brother. Why don't we save a filter after dark? Do you think we can save one more for a little filter after dark? Are you up for that? Or?
Oh, I got one more real spicy take. So.
We're always happy to have one more
horny
hot
filter after dark.
I like it. Yes. Okay, so the Wheel of Misfortune on TSN 1050 was spun by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. If you've got a surface you need to protect or a look you want to transform, Rust-Oleum has a solution for every challenge, including your outdoor fabrics. UV rays will quickly rob your outdoor cushions and pillows of their rich, vibrant colors. Rust-Oleum Fabric Paint is the easiest way to refresh and protect your outdoor fabrics with excellent adhesion that stays soft to the touch. Fabric paints from Rust-Oleum, changing the way Canadians look at everyday objects. Try Rust-Oleum Fabric Paint, available at Home Depot and other home improvement retailers. We love it. We're feeling
simple
good.
Simple as that.
It's as simple as that. And we've got another Al's Brother After Dark coming up. Dreg still to come. More on the Jays, more on the NBA playoffs. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Darren Dreger, our hockey insider. In about 15 minutes, Mark Kestecher, ESPN radio host and NBA play-by-play. He'll join us into the next hour. The Clippers going down in game one last night. And Philly tying their series up. And it's all about the Nets and Milwaukee and what's going on with them. What does he make of LeBron and
My
Space
Nets.
Jam 2?
My Nets.
Your Nets are in a good place.
I love the 500.
It's still very disputed, but we'll figure that out down the road. So we'll catch up with Mark in the next hour. And we got one game six in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. And the playoff faceoff is presented by Lay's Flavor Faceoff. And it is time now for Lay's Playoff Faceoff. Lay's is facing off against Ruffles All Dressed Doritos Sweet Chili Heat and Smart Food White Cheddar with their new three potato chip flavors available for a limited time. Boston, the Islanders, perfection line versus Varlamov tonight. Like, Varlamov was so good in game five.
He was. He really was.
I think the big boys on Boston are breaking through tonight, though.
I think this is a Barry Trotz lockdown city. That barn is going to be bananas. Say what you want. I love New York Islanders fans. Light the CN Tower blue and orange tonight, Tor Dog. Light it up blue and orange. I love the Isles.
I do. I'm an alumni.
They did that.
I've got an alumni coat from the Islanders.
You do. Homemade. Do it yourself.
Homemade. Yep. They sent it to me. But I think Boston has it in them to push it to seven. I feel like they're just a veteran team. I know they're nicked up, but Rask is going to play. But I didn't think Tuukka Rask was very good last game, and he usually is able to bounce back off an off game. So I'm looking for Boston to try and push this to seven.
Yeah, same, man. I have a lot of respect, clearly, for both organizations, the way they've played for the past couple of years. Boston in particular, though. This is where, like, we talk about the clutch gene all the time, and you can't put your finger on what it means, when it pops up, why it shows up when it does. But tonight feels like a night like that, where Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak are going to be dancing, and Trotz can try whatever he wants to. He can throw everything at the wall, but those three guys are too good, and I'm leaning towards them tonight. And I don't think Varlamov has it in him to go back-to-back in terms of standing on his head tonight. So there it is, the playoff. Well, obviously he could. I'm just not willing to bet on it. And I'm not willing to bet that, like, if Boston plays the way they did in Game 5, they win tonight. They win tonight. Right. I fully expect that.
Five hunch.
I'm not interested. bag of chips, though. I'll put a bag of chips on the line. The playoff face-off presented by Lay's Flavor Face-Off. Bag of chips on the line tonight, courtesy of Lay's. We love it. Hour 3 coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Acceptedated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA license 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.